Looking forward to that day, amen. We shall know him. And Miss Linda, if you would blow that up for him next time, he'd be able to see that when you are singing. If you want your Bibles this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I didn't mean to pick on you, Brother Day. I'm sorry. I enjoy hearing them sing together. I really do. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Throughout this year, four or five times on a Sunday morning, I'm going to preach on how we should walk. And these are found, most of the references are found in Ephesians. Walk in light, walk in love, walk circumspectly. So this will be one of them. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach on that we should be a rooted people. And our theme, again, is rooted in Christ. So next Sunday morning, I've been working on that message, that we should be a rooted people. But this morning, I'd like to bring a message on walking in the light. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, and this is quoting Isaiah chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, giving you a summarization of it. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's a good prophecy, and we'll look at that at the end of the message. Let's pray. God, we again come to you, thanking you for this time we have to come and open the Word of God and to feed upon it. And Lord, we pray that we would grow thereby. Help us to walk as children of light. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Ephesians, of course, Paul is writing there to the church at Ephesus. In the first three chapters, he reminds them of his wealth that they have in Jesus Christ. By the way, the things we inherit, the things we receive from Christ are just overwhelming. The goodness of God and how great he's been, and the wealth we have in Christ, the riches we have in Christ because we're saved. And there's nothing like it. So Paul covers that there in chapters 1, 2, and 3. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, he speaks on and he touches on our walk. Or the first three chapters are doctrinal in stature. The last three chapters are practical. So he's practically telling you how to live out the Christian life, how to live out this life that God has given us. But we have all the tools we need. If you reach back in chapters 1, 2, and 3, it gives you the tools you need. And the wealth that we have in Christ helps to produce in our own lives the Christ life and how we should live our life before Christ. In chapters 4, we have again where it says, walk in love and walk worthy, and chapter 4, and walking in unity and the gifts we received in Christ, and put on the new man. And I'm not going to go through all of chapter 4. Chapter 5, if you'll look there in verse 1, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and that we ought to be imitators of God. We ought to be imitators of God. My purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy my relationship with Him forever, for all eternity. And in doing so is to imitate Him. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they were being Christ-like. They were following in Christ's steps. I want that to be said of me. I want it to be said of me that that guy is a Christian. He follows in Christ's steps. He's an imitator of Christ. So it says there, be ye therefore followers of God. We ought to, as Christians, imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be imitators of His life. Walk, it says there in verse 2, walk in love. And of course, Christ walked in love. And of course, He was selfless to the T. In fact, so much so that He gave His life for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Christ gave His life for us, the ultimate example of love, the ultimate example of righteousness, the ultimate example of selflessness, as Christ gave His life for us. So we ought to walk in love. Here in verse 8, Paul says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Notice the past tense there, ye were sometimes darkness. I'm glad that for me is past. I was in darkness. Now I'm in the light. I'm in the light, and we'll talk more about that. we were darkness. It says, walk as children of light. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I don't know about you, but I enjoy getting up in the morning with the sun shining. When I get up in the morning and the clouds are and it's cloudy and gloomy and you feel like you're living in Washington, I don't like that. And I'm glad the Lord hasn't sent me to Washington or that far north. I don't want to live up there where it rains 99% of the time. I have no desire to. Lord, you know if you sent me there, I'd go. But I would yield. But I don't desire to live in that. I enjoy getting up in Texas and for the most part getting up and the sun is shining as it was this morning. I like seeing the sun shine through even the blinds, and it's just a blessing. Going outside, even when it's a little chilly, and feeling that sun and the warmth of the sun, and it's comforting. I love it. I'm scared of the dark. When I was a kid, I was real scared of the dark. Hey, all of us are a little scared of the dark. You could be a man and say you're not, but come on. When I was a kid, I was really scared of the dark. We lived out in the country. Especially when I had to go take the trash out at night. And, when I was a kid, we had barrels and you burned the trash. And so you had to walk out into the backyard and into the alley. And that's where Dad had the two barrels set up. And you had to go out there, of course, and throw the trash. You couldn't just, most of the time you weren't just allowed to throw the trash. You had to catch it on fire. So you had to stay there a little bit, catch it on fire, and then run back to the house, right? I didn't like being out in the dark. I didn't like to watch the Incredible Hulk change. I'd hide behind the couch when the Incredible Hulk changed. Scared of monsters. But God's much bigger than the boogeyman. I would sing the song, but you guys would make fun of me. God's much bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla. Oh, there are monsters on TV. That's back when the VeggieTales used to be good. I mean that. Sincerely. But I like the light. If I had my, choice, I'm not going to walk out in the darkness. I'd rather walk out in the light. Right? Oh, come on, guys. You all agree. Light's much preferred. Light's comforting. Light invigorates. You know, when it's gloomy outside and rainy, you'd be surprised how many people don't even come to church. And then those that come to church are half asleep. And because I'm not a joke teller, it's hard to get you guys going sometimes. So, the light. The light. The light's comforting. The light's awesome. The light brings growth. I mean, we have to have light. Light. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. And I'm going to re-quote that. Let your light, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That we ought to be a light. The Bible says we ought to be a light in this crooked and perverse nation in which we live. We ought to be a light. Light. You ever walked into a room? The reason why this church, we walk throughout this church building, it's very bright. You walk into some church buildings, it looks like you come into a funeral home. I don't like to go into buildings where it's dark. I don't like where it's going in. It's dim. I want it to be Walmart all the time. I want the big aisles and the bright lights. I want that, and it brings a certain comfort to it, and so forth. It's bright. It's good. Light and darkness. Light drives out darkness. We testify to this on our candlelight service every year. We light the little candle over there in that corner. It's amazing what one candle will do in a dark place. It dispels darkness. It dispels darkness. Darkness and light cannot coexist. It's impossible. The light. We should walk as children of the light. In other words, if we think about dark and light, darkness and light, right and wrong. By the way, there is a right and wrong. Amen. If we're going to walk as children of the light, then that means we're going to walk in righteousness. It's going to describe that here in a moment. It's black and white. Truth, lie. And these are words people have a hard time with today because... Yeah. They don't like everything to be absolute. They want everything to be relative. But there are absolutes. And biblically, there are absolutes. The Bible gives us what's right and what's wrong. right? We think about that as the Bible says that we are to, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible gives us, tells us what's right, tells us what's wrong, tells us how to get right and how to stay right. Amen. That's the Bible. That is the light in which we have, and light drives out the darkness. In verse 9, look there with me in verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit, or the, what is the result of this walking in the light? Well, it's goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of walking as children of light is righteousness and truth and so forth. Listen, it produces goodness in our life. In other words, if we are walking in light, then we are going to be good, or actually produce goodness in our life. That means, it really, the word goodness means love and action. It means love and action. In other words, we're treating others as we want to be treated. That word goodness means to be kind. If we're walking in light, then we're going to be kind one to another. Gentle. We are going to love each other. That is the evidence of the fruit of walking in light. That means we're going to be kind to our wife. We're going to be kind to our husband. We're going to be kind to our children. We're going to be kind to our fellow Christians and our co-workers. We're going to go out of our way to be something that may not completely line up with who we are. What did I mean that? I mean, so it's hard to love the unlovable. But Jesus says to love your enemies. So we go out of our way to go contrary sometimes to what our nature would tell us to do. Because the fruit of light, or the fruit of living a godly life, living in the footsteps of Jesus, is to love one another. To treat others as you want to be treated. By the way, all marital problems would not exist. There would be no marital problems if you treated your spouse as you'd want to be treated. It's simple as that. We ought to be the fruit of walking in the light, or the evidence of walking in the light is that we'll be good one toward another. It also says their righteousness. In other words, that the fruit of it will be righteousness in our life. What is that? Right living. But more than that, it's right living in character before God. It's living and doing right when nobody's looking. That's character, right? Character is who you are when no one's looking. Can I remind you that God is looking? See, we get the idea, our God's too small in our own minds. We bring God down to our level. We make God a middle-aged guy, you know. Anyway, we make God a middle-aged guy sitting up there saying, you know, whatever, and, well, you know, he did that, but, you know, I understand. No, God doesn't understand. Amen. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And God desires that we live righteous lives. And so many times, when it comes to righteousness or rightness before character, before Him, in other words, doing what's right when no one's looking, is because we think no one's looking, but God is. God says, if you're in the heights of the heaven, I'm there. Amen. He says, if you're in the lower parts of the earth, I'm there. God's there. God can see in the dark. And we ought to live right, Amen. Even though no one's looking. So that word righteousness, or walking in the light, the evidence of the fruit of walking in light, is that we will watch our character. We will live right when no one's looking. And then it is also there alluding to the rightness we have before mankind. That we live right before mankind. That we have a good testimony before others. So it says we'll love one another, that we'll be kind to each other, that we'll live right before God, that we'll live right before our fellow man. Our neighbors should know that we're Christians. Our neighbors should know we're Christians by the way we live. Our neighbors should know we're Christians by the way we talk, that we are right before them. Our co-workers should know that we are Christians, and so forth, by how we live. Right living, right living. Amen? Thirdly, it says their truth, that the fruit of that walking in the light, that the Spirit produces in us goodness, the Spirit produces in us righteousness before God and man, and the Spirit produces in us truth. And truth is conforming to that which is true. And can I tell you here, it's alluding to conforming to that which is the Word of God. This is truth. And therefore, in my life, I should conform to the Word of God. What does the Word of God tell me to do? What does the Word of God tell me not to do? Again, the Word of God tells me what's right, what's wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. So I'm going to follow the book. This is the roadmap for life. When we use 1 John 1:7, and we say that we should walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, This is the light. This is our guide. As we stay right with the Lord, as we walk in the light, we'll be right with our fellow man. Amen. There's so much more. We could preach on the light for several weeks. But we should walk as children of the light. Very little side note here. If we walk in truth, if we walk in righteousness, if we walk in goodness, therefore walking as children of the light, we will be distinct from those around us. And I know I've been pushing this word a lot. I'm going to continue to push it from now on. Christians, we are commanded to live distinct lives. Different from the world. When Israel was called and they came up out of Egypt and they left the Egypt and Pharaoh and God brought them out with a mighty hand. What a great God and powerful God he is and was. He sent down, he turned the Nile River into blood. He killed the firstborn there among the Egyptians, and he sent down hailstones on fire and destroyed, and all the things that God did there in Egypt to show how powerful he was. And he brought them out with a mighty hand, and he departed the Red Sea. What a mighty God. He could part the Red Sea, and they went across on dry ground. I also want to remind you that it was not like they went across single file. There was 2 or 3 million of them. That means the path that God made across the Red Sea had to be a mile wide for them to cross overnight, because it said they crossed over in one night. So it had to be at least a mile wide. It says they walked across on dry ground. That's a powerful God. That's a powerful God. He brought them to Mount Sinai, and there they received the Ten Commandments. There they received the ceremonial law. There they received the civil laws. There they received the commands that would make them distinct from the nations around them. And we can name all of them and so forth, but the principle is that they were to be distinct. There were certain things they couldn't eat. There were certain things they couldn't wear. There were certain things they were to do. They were to sacrifice. They were to worship God only. And you can go through all those things. But it made them distinct. By the way, Deuteronomy tells us that God gave them all those laws for their good. It's better to eat a scaly fish than a slimy fish for your health. Now, for my taste buds, it really doesn't matter. I like both. I'm telling you, I can fry up. You can fry up crappie, bass, catfish, fry them up together, and I can't tell the difference. Some of you will say, well, I can tell the difference. Crappie is so much better than catfish. If it's caught directly out of a lake and not out of some pond raising stuff, it's all good. But the Jews weren't allowed to eat catfish. They couldn't eat the slimy stuff. They could only eat scaly fish. Which in principle is better for you? Are y'all alive? Is that okay? Is my illustration boring you? Because it's boring me. I'll move on. But they were distinct. And God gave them rules for their good. They were to wash. They were to keep themselves clean. I mean, he gave them hygiene rules. But believe me, you read about some of the nations around them. The Philistines had no hygiene rules. They had no rules. And the people around them were wicked and despicable and immoral. And all the, there was rules for the Jews about marriage and all these things. But they were for their good. It made them distinct. But the distinction was for their good. It wasn't so they couldn't have any fun. But it was to make them better. To enable them to live a joyful, abundant life. Amen? And God desires for us to live a distinct life. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He tells us, and he just gives us the same command from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And we ought to live holy lives. So Paul here says, walk as children of light. Be good. Do good. The fruit of walking the light is goodness, kindness, gentleness, loving others. It's walking in righteousness, right before God and right before. It's walking in truth, following the truth, and all these things. Conformity truth conforming to the Word of God and the will of God. John chapter 3. I'm going to turn there real quick. John chapter 3, if you want to turn there. John 3, if I get there before you do, I'm going to read it. So, sword drill. John 3, verse 20. These are Jesus Christ's words. By the way, Jesus talked a lot about the light. And again, we could spend a lot of time. It says, Jesus says there in John chapter 3 and verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved," unless his deeds should be made evident. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." We must understand, and as we walk in the light, that before God nothing is hid. And if we live out our character and our conduct, we bring light into a dark world. And I'll cover this in a moment, but understand that we can lead others to the light. I think about the transformation that God makes in people's lives. And there's some in this auditorium where God has saved you and transformed you from a wicked, immoral life into the light of goodness and righteousness. And by the way, it was a good change, a good transformation. And whether he took you from drugs and alcohol and cleaned you up and brought you out of that, or whatever it may be, God is good in that he will transform our lives, that he makes a big change in us. John Phillips in his commentary tells the story of a man who was a drunkard. And he would go out each evening and drink with his friends, and he would sing songs and with them and, you know, carouse and do all those things and come home and just be terrible with his wife and with his children. And because of his drinking, he didn't provide good for his family, and they barely had anything to wear, to eat, barely a place to live. By the way, that's still going on today. So one day he went to an old-fashioned meeting and got saved. And immediately God changed his life. He took the desire of alcohol away. And those same friends met him on the street. They felt they met a stranger. He had changed so much they didn't even recognize him. He wouldn't go to the bar anymore. He didn't sing their songs. He didn't tell their immoral, nasty, ugly stories. One of the guys asked him a question and said, "What do you think about him?" They were making fun of him and persecuting him. And he's, one of the guys said to him, "Hey, what do you think about Jesus making turning water into wine? What do you say about that?" The guy said, "I don't know. I don't understand all that. I don't know. I can't give you all the Greek and Hebrew on it." But he said, "I do want to know one thing. In my home, he changed beer into furniture." God will transform a life. And God will transform your life. I don't know who's here, what you may be going through. But I tell you what, I'd much rather be in the light than in the darkness. Because in the light, there's so much better. In the light is so much better. All right, verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Light exposes what is wrong. And as we go throughout our life as a Christian, as a born-again believer, our question should be, is this acceptable? Is what I'm doing acceptable to the Lord? Is what I'm doing, is it right before the Lord? Would the Lord approve of what I'm doing? And that became very popular years ago, "What Would Jesus Do?" By the way, that's from an old book called In His Steps, Shelton Smith, which is a great book. You ought to read it. What would Jesus do? In any given situation, I should ask that question. What would Jesus do if he were in my situation? If Jesus was standing beside me, would he go to this place? If Jesus was sitting in the car with me, would he listen to this? If Jesus was, whatever the case may be, would he talk to my children this way? Would he talk to my wife this way? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus approve? Does Jesus like it? You say, "Well, preacher, I thought there was a bunch of rules over there in the Old Testament and a lot of things." And sure, we could sit down and say there are some things you shouldn't do. The Bible makes it very clear. But those are things Jesus wouldn't do. And there's some things you should do. And those are things that Jesus would do. So really, the law comes down to this. What would Jesus do? And you can apply that to every area of your life. It's not about whether men approve it. "Well, they're all doing it, preacher." Well, don't make it right. If Jesus wouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it, teenager. Right? And if Jesus would do it, you should do it. So it's not about, by the way, it's not even your conscience. You say, "Well, my conscience tells me I'm all right." Well, you shouldn't rely upon your conscience. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Quoting from Scripture again. By the way, I'm all right if I quote from Scripture. No. What would Jesus do? Does Jesus approve of this? I'm glad today that Christianity is not a religion. Religion is a set of rules whereby we have to live. No, Christianity is Christ. Christianity is a relationship. And I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Therefore, I want to follow in His steps. Amen? Amen. Verse 11 and 12, we see, and it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We are to take a firm stand or reprove the works of darkness. There's a good example of this in the New Testament, in which John the Baptist came out. And by the way, John the Baptist led people to Jesus. He baptized folks. I mean, he was a flaming evangelist, wasn't he? But he also called people out. And one of the people he called out was Herod. Herod Antipas. And he said to Herod, who was the son of Herod the Great, he said to Herod, "You're wrong for marrying your brother's wife, Herodias." Y'all remember the story? I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But Herod took his brother Philip's wife and took him to be his wife, divorced his wife and took his brother's wife. And John the Baptist, the flaming evangelist, called him on it. Called him out in person, to his face. Herod didn't take it too well, but his wife really didn't take it good. And Herodias, about 10 months later, found a way in which she could get back at John the Baptist and wound up getting John the Baptist's head delivered on a platter. And because of John the Baptist's stand against immorality, and because of John the Baptist's stand against what was wrong, and because he was willing to name it and call it out, he lost his life. And can I tell you, if you're going to walk in light, if you're going to walk in goodness and truth, if you're going to walk in righteousness, you're going to face some persecution. You're going to face some persecution. It's going to happen. And people will call you out. But John the Baptist stood regardless of the consequences. John the Baptist stood without compromise. Called out what was done in darkness. By the way, we ought to be careful about talking about things that we should not talk about. I'll be careful. And I usually am. We don't use a lot of words in the pulpit. I don't even use the word sex a lot from the pulpit. Because I think those are things that we need to be careful about talking about. I'd much rather use the word intimacy. I am telling you, there are churches across the nation that are stepping into things and talking about things they shouldn't be talking about. Just with this scripture alone. Even advertising, the way they advertise. Using immoral movies to advertise their particular lesson on intimacy. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen? Help me out. Don't shoot the messenger. It's what the Bible says. Proving what is acceptable in the unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of righteousness, but rather reprove them, for it's even a shame. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And we ought to be careful. For a preacher, there should be a fine line not to cross. For a youth pastor, there should be a fine line not to cross. And every once in a while, we cross it, and because of the day and age which we live in, but we want to be careful. And when you're at work, you ought to be careful what you talk about. The dirty jokes and the filthy talk. And that's what it's alluding to here. We ought to be careful. When we want to walk in the light, we want to expose darkness, not be a part of it. If we walk in the light, we expose the darkness, things around us, the sin that is around us. The religious leaders hated Jesus. Why? Because he exposed them for who they were. And he exposed their sin. And when you live right, when you live in goodness, when you live in righteousness, when you live in truth, you're going to experience persecution. But the Bible says, happy are you when you suffer for Christ's sake. The Bible says, count it all joy that you suffer for Christ's sake. But be careful you don't suffer for doing things which are wrong. But if you suffer for doing things which are right, the Bible says, happy are you. You ought to wear it as a badge. I just want to live for Jesus. Not talking about being a Pharisee. Listen, not talking about being a Sadducee. Not looking down on someone, but just living right and doing right. And if you receive, if you receive persecution for that, you ought to count it all joy that you suffered for that. It means you're doing something right. Because darkness is not like light. And there are multiple verses I could turn to. You ever gone into a dark room, turn the light on, and see just a small evidence of little things on the floor that shouldn't be there? Me and my wife used to live in a house in a neighborhood which just the water bugs were there. There's nothing you could do about them. We sprayed. The church building was the same way. We sprayed every 3 months, and yeah, they would go away a little bit, but then they're back, you know. And so you turn the light on, and they scatter, right? Cockroaches. Ugh, can't stand it. Especially those water bugs, man. They're big. They might fly over and pick up your little kid and take off with them. Man. But they do not like the light. Cockroaches do not like the light. And I'm telling you, as we read over there in John chapter 3 a moment ago, light dispels darkness. And when you are being a light, as you have been commanded to do by Jesus himself in John chapter 5, when you do that, there are going to be some who do not like it. There are going to be some who ridicule you. I've used this illustration a billion times, but they used to call my brother in high school Dippy Dan the Holy Man. And they called him that because he lived a good life. He lived a righteous life. Not perfect, but he lived a truthful life. And when you do that, there will be consequences. And again, Jesus says, happy are you if you find yourself in that position. We think about verse 13, it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's talking about the cockroaches there. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And I'm telling you, when you turn the light on, the cockroaches are made manifest. And when you turn on the light on and you live a life that's pleasing to the Master, when you live a life of light, it will make manifest those who live in darkness. Verse 14, this is the verse y'all were looking for. The last one. Wherefore, when Paul says wherefore, we should always say why, what is it there for? In other words, back up and say, what has he said so far? Well, he said, walk in love. Be imitators of God. Walk in him. Be a light. Walk as children of light. Wherefore, he saith, wake up. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Listen, this is a prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 60, that those who will wake up, the Bible says that ye who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened. When I was born in this world, I was born spiritually dead. I was born with a void in my heart, a void in my life. Spiritually dead. I was dead in trespasses and sin. Because of the sin in my life, because of selfishness, the selfishness which is by nature, the Bible says, for the wages of that, the penalty of sin, which is selfishness, is death. Revelation tells us that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Can I tell you today, as it's been true from eternity past to eternity future, that there is a hell. There's a hell to be shunned. And we escape hell. We escape the penalty of death. We escape the penalty of the second death by trusting in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By having our sins forgiven by way of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin. When you're born in this world, you're born dead. You say, how can that be? Spiritually dead. But you hath he quickened. That means, quickened means made alive. To be brought to life. I got up this morning, stepped out of bed, and the sun was up. It was awesome. I like that. A new day started this morning. Now, it started before the sun came up, but a new day started. A new day dawned. When I was 6 years old, on a Saturday morning, at work with my dad, I told my dad, Dad, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. And my dad took me to my pastor's office, and there on my knees, with my pastor on his knees, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Amen. And a new day dawned in my life. Amen. The light came on. I was in darkness, and the light came on. And it was a good light. I was free from the burden of sin. You say, at 6 years old, you had a burden of sin? Yes. I realized I was a sinner. I realized because of my sin, I was on my way to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Therefore, I've repented of my sins and trusted in Jesus Christ at the age of 6 years old. And I absolutely, even at 6 years old, felt the burden lifted. Felt the sin burden lifted. And a new day started in my own life. I remember how that felt in my own life. And though I didn't smoke and chew and go with girls that do, and I couldn't say that God took my life of immorality and open sin. Listen, my sin was just as dark.
Amen.
The sin of selfishness. And God forgave me my sins and gave me a home in heaven. And what a day. What a day that was when the light came on. What a day it was. It changed my life. I immediately began to tell others about Jesus. I remember telling my cousin that very night about my salvation and trying to lead him to the Lord. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. Changed my life. And it's still changing my life. There's new life in Jesus Christ. Look there what it says again. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I'm glad salvation is a gift. It is not earned. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are you saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. We don't earn salvation. We are not going to get to heaven one day and there'll be a big scale up there. And on one side of the scale will be our bad stuff we've done. And on one side of the scale will be our good stuff. And if our good stuff outweighs our bad stuff, we get to go to heaven. That's not going to happen. That's not what the Bible says. Our works have no part in our eternal salvation. His work does. The work that Jesus Christ did on the cross and that he died and was buried and rose again from the dead. We're placing our trust in him. See, it doesn't matter whether you've joined the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, the Episcopal church. I don't care what denomination or what religion you... Religion's not going to get you to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ we get to heaven.
Amen.
It's not being on the church roll that gets you to heaven. It's not giving in the offering plate that gets you to heaven. It's not being baptized that gets you to heaven. I could dunk you 7 times, and if you want to do that, we'll do it, but it's not going to get you any closer to heaven. They're not saved by baptism. We're saved by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. By believing and trusting in his life and his death and his resurrection. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you trusted in Christ this morning? Has the darkness become light in your life? Are you experiencing the light of life? Are you experiencing that light that dispels darkness in your life? Has a new day dawned in your life? And by the way, that age of 6 years old, that's the greatest day of my life. The greatest day of my life. And it'll be the greatest day of your life if you would accept him today. Christ shall give you life. And I love it how the prophecy says, wake up! Listen, wake up! Some of you need to wake up! Wake up this morning! The sun's up! We need to come to the sun, S-O-N, and find salvation. So many wander in darkness. You ever got up in the middle of the night and maybe in a motel room or a house you're not familiar with? And you need to make your way to the restroom or make your way to get a drink of water. And you stumble around. You hit every piece of furniture, everything. Just kind of wandering around. There's lots of people wandering around in this life. No purpose in life. Empty. Broken. Come to Jesus. Come to the light. Awake. Wake up. And you shall have the light of life. A new day is arising. Come to Jesus. Here we see Paul says, walk as children of light. How's your life this morning, Christian? Do others see Jesus in you? See, Jesus said himself there in John, Matthew chapter 5, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Others should see the light of Jesus in you. Our life should be a reflection of the Son, S-O-N. Our life should be a reflection of Jesus Christ. We should be imitators of Christ. And yes, the light exposes darkness. And if you live a life and you follow in Jesus' steps, you may suffer some persecution. Some of you work in a work environment that's not conducive to Christianity. Can I tell you that if you suffer for Christ's sake, the Bible says count it joy that you've suffered for Jesus Christ's sake. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, I'd ask you to wake up this morning. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to accept into the Lord Jesus Christ and have the lights turned on in your life. See, Jesus Christ will give you new life. Nothing like it. Jesus said, I came to give life and to give life more abundant. Experiencing the light. Christian, we ought to be a light. We ought to send the light. Tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. Just keep on going. The gospel light. Amen. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine, what, forevermore. Amen. Let's send the light. Tell others of Jesus. Let's all stand. We'll turn to hymn 167 in your psalm book. Just as I am. Christian, are you walking in light? Are you walking as children of the light? Maybe tonight, or maybe this morning, you're suffering some persecution. Maybe you want to come down and just pray, Lord, help you with that. And if you're here and you're not saved, you never had the light turned on, stop wandering in darkness and come to the light. Jesus Christ will save you. It'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, this morning, Lord, for your love. And Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. And I pray this morning would help us as Christians to be a light. God, if there's someone here who's not saved, I pray they might get saved today. Well, thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 167, as we sing, Just as I am.